and turn around and say hello to somebody. Help anybody get a seat. If you help people find a seat, if they need a seat, help them find a place to sit down. But yeah, we're glad everybody's here today. Certainly glad everybody's tuning in online today. Thank you all for tuning in. Glad that you are here. And we know that you're there. We know that you're out there. And we're always glad to know that you're there. All right. So to connect with us today, all you got to do is just say hello to that phone number. If you're new to the church, we want to ask you just to text hello. We want to say hello to you. So let's all say hello. 1, 2, 3. Hello. Hello to everybody here that's in the room. Hello to all of you that are online today. We just appreciate you tuning in as well. If you happen to be in the room, make sure you stop by our first-time guest station if you are a guest, and we have a gift for you on your way out. Right quick, just I don't know if you had a chance to be with us on Friday night. We had our One Night for Oneness here. We had over 90 couples involved in that that night together, and we even had a handful of single people in the room. It was a great, great experience. Jim and Christy Jacobus, they led us through some really great material. And it was a life-changing night for so many of us. We'll do it again next year. Maybe you can get in on it again next year. And then also, just so that you know, a couple of things going on in the life of the church. Today, right after the service, we have an interest meeting for our Guatemala mission trip. We do missions in Kenya. We do missions in Guatemala. They happen to be having an interest meeting today, right after the service, right back here in the office area. I'd encourage you to go back there. And then next week, we have a spring cleaning. It's on Saturday, and man, we could use your help. We'd love for you to show up here at 9 o'clock. We're just going to work as a church family for about 3 hours. And get everything spruced up for the Easter season. Can y'all believe that it's already almost Easter? Easter comes in March this year. So how about that? Somebody liked it, right? Somebody did. I heard that. Like, woo-hoo, okay, yeah. That's awesome. And so, but yeah, it's coming quick. And so we'd encourage you to come hang out with us on that. That's next Saturday. And then also something I want you to realize is we are celebrating our 10th anniversary of Celebrate Recovery in this church. Let's give it up. Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the cupcakes and all that out there. There's cupcakes. There's an information table. All those things are out there. They can answer any of your questions about Celebrate Recovery. But we believe in recovery. We believe in helping people find freedom in Jesus Christ. And so here in just a little bit, we're going to be sharing about Celebrate Recovery and what it's done in our church over the past 10 years and looking forward to that. But it's amazing to me how God orchestrates all things together, how everything kind of goes together. And everything in Celebrate Recovery kind of fits like a glove, a hand in a glove with what we're studying in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today and really 2 Corinthians all together. And so I'm always excited about that. And so here we go. We're going to be studying 2 Corinthians. Here we go. Life is hard. God is good. Everybody understands that line, don't they? If you believe it, everybody say, life is hard. Everybody say, but God is good. He is good. And aren't we all glad that we can find the power of Jesus when we need it the most? So is anybody in the room that needs the power of Jesus today? Come on, come on. Of course we do. We all need it. But we live in a world that teaches me that whatever I want, whatever I need, whatever needs to be accomplished or overcome, I just do it myself, right? Do it myself. It's kind of ingrained in us from the crib. We come out of the crib, out of the cradle, that little two-year-old toddler stage. I don't think they say the terrible twos. Is that what they say? But, you know, a parent wants to help a child, and the child says, I can do it myself. Yeah, I can do it myself. And sometimes we never let go of that. We just are going to do it ourselves. And that's because we live in a world that says, you know, I've got the power. I've got the power. Y'all know that song, right? I've got the power. Y'all know that? Come on. One of these days, I'm just going to take off on y'all. I'm going to give me a microphone. Just go for it. I got the power. But yeah, I mean, the world tells me I've got the power and that I can do anything in my own strength. That if I've got enough willpower, that I can just accomplish anything or overcome anything. But whenever I think about that, it's kind of, you know, I think really that's got to be just a little bit out of whack. It has to be a little bit out of whack because if I've got the power, why do I still struggle with the same old struggles? Are you with me? I mean, if I've got the power, Why do I still do the things I told myself that I'd never do again? If I've got the power. If I've got the power, why aren't things working out the way I want them to? And so as I look at my own life, well, maybe I don't have the power, you know. Maybe I don't have the power. And I think the Apostle Paul must have felt the same thing. Popular passage of Scripture where Paul kind of resonates with Paul's spirit is Romans chapter 7. It's on the screen. And isn't it interesting that the Apostle Paul, who might have been one of the best Christians that ever lived, said in that first line, "For I do not understand my own actions." Can y'all relate to what Paul was saying there? He says, "For I do not do what I want to do, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." And so all that's saying is that the power of my sin nature is stronger than my willpower. Sin nature, the power of sin is always stronger than my willpower. "For I know," it goes on to say, "that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin, the power of sin that dwells within me." And so as I look at that, I think, you know, Paul would say that he kind of likes the idea of our series here. Life is hard, but God is good. Find the power of Jesus when you need it. Paul wrote the book, of course. But Paul knew that he needed the power of Christ in his life. We drop down to verse 24, the same passage. And he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me? Who will deliver me from this body of death?" And then, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Paul is saying, look, the power's not in me. No, I don't have the power. He's got the power. And so Paul came to the end of himself. He knew that he couldn't do it himself. It's kind of a mind shift change, because in his old way of doing things, in those rules and regulations of religion and everything that he had, he kind of always thought all he had to do is just kind of do it himself. It was a do-it-yourselfer kind of religion. And then when you come to faith in Jesus Christ and you see how all this works, you go, oh, you know, it's that aha moment. And he says, oh, now I see. I can't do it myself. I see that I am powerless without Christ. So, yeah, he realized he's powerless to overcome his pride, powerless to overcome the pressure of life, powerless to overcome the sin in his life, powerless to overcome that thorn in his flesh. Remember that? He was powerless. He needed something else. And so he realized he was powerless to overcome, in the language of Celebrate Recovery, powerless to overcome his hurts, habits, and his hang-ups. And I think it's true for all of us. We could all say the same thing. We all have hurts. We all have habits. We all have hang-ups. If you don't have one, you have the other, all right? Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. It kind of gets us all in this place we called humanity. Fallen humanity, we're all going to have setbacks. We're all going to have hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And so, today's, we got to have some realizations here. And the first realization is this, it's on the screen, that I have to realize that I do not have the power in my own strength to overcome life's hurts, habits, and hang-ups. If you're taking notes, there's a little blank that you can fill in your notes there. But you got to have that first realization, because the world tells me I've got the power, so the world's telling me I've got the power. So what I do is I keep striving. I keep striving, but it's interesting. It seems like the more I'm striving, the more I'm losing. It doesn't mean that we might not gain a little bit, but then we have all those setbacks. And so we strive, but we keep losing. And so today's realization is me saying, no, I don't. I don't have the power. The power's not in me. I have to realize that I'm powerless, and I admit my need for God's help. Second realization is this. Taking notes to this. I have to realize that I receive the power I need the moment I realize I'm powerless and I genuinely ask for God's help. You got to genuinely ask for God's help. You know, I should have underlined the words genuinely ask as well, because this is different than just throwing up your hands and with a prayer saying, God help me, God help me. But we still hold on to all the things that are troubling us. To genuinely ask means that you totally are surrendering whatever it is that you're praying to God. You're giving it to Him. You're not expecting God to pry it out of your hands, because God's not going to pry it out of your hands. You're saying, God help me, but I'm not letting go. And this is how we do things. And so God says, John Warren, I'm not going to pry that out of your hands. But if you'll open your hands, I'll help you. You have to genuinely ask, and you have to pray through surrender. Oftentimes we pray, but we don't surrender. We pray, but we don't surrender. And this is crazy to me, but this is how we do. This is how it works so many times. I say it all the time, that everybody wants God's blessing, but not everybody wants to go God's way. And so we say our prayers, but we live an unsurrendered life. And so we wonder where the power is. There's no power. And so when we pray through a spirit of surrender, it changes the game. But whenever we pray without surrender, that will never move the heart of God. So we pray through surrender. And so we genuinely ask for God's help. And that's when we see God come through. But the bottom line is, I've just got to know I'm powerless and I desperately need God's help. And that's really what we're all about today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, he's saying, man, this is how this thing works. And if you have your Bibles, you're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. And we're going to have just a few quick points here, and then we're going to have some stories from our Celebrate Recovery family that are going to go hand in hand with what we're learning today. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, it's there on the screen. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, jars of clay, that does not mean like a vase on the mantle or on the table. It's not a vase that we have this thing in. That's not the container. The container is our own human fleshly body. This is the container. This is a jar of clay. Scripture says, in a different translation, calls the same idea, jars of clay, calls it earthen vessels. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So whether you use earthen vessels or jars of clay, this is what it's talking about. And so what it's meaning is that these bodies of ours, these bodies are decaying. These bodies are fragile. These bodies are prone to sin. But yet we have this treasure in these jars of clay. It is pretty much amazing to me. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So whenever I read that, it's a very simple thing here. God's got the power. God's got the power. And only the way that I will have the power is if I've got God, if I've got Christ in my life. So He's got the power. I've got to have Him in my life. And through a surrendered life, then the power comes through and I can have victory in my life. We got to have it that way. But this treasure, it's the gospel message. Paul, he knows he's flawed. He knows that he's broken. He lives in a broken world. He's got a flawed life. But he says, God's given me this treasure. And it's the message that he gets to share with the people all around the world. And so the treasure is that we can be set free from the power of sin and the power of shame and the power of condemnation in our lives. It's a treasure. It's a treasure, and He wants to give that treasure away to people. It's a treasure in that we're transformed from one degree of glory to another to become more and more like Jesus Christ. It's a treasure. It's the treasure that gives us hope, and it's the treasure that gives us eternal and lasting forgiveness of sin. It's a treasure. It's a treasure that gives us eternal life and eternal hope and eternal peace and eternal joy. This is the treasure, and He says, we have this treasure. It's the one treasure in this whole wide world. We want to get it out to everybody. And so He's willing to do whatever it takes to shine the light, share the love, and to share this treasure with all the people that He could. This treasure is kind of summed up in Colossians 1:27. And it says, it's on the screen here, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, What's the mystery? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's the treasure. The treasure is that Christ is in us and He's the hope of glory. So because Christ is in us, we have access to His power. And through His Holy Spirit, we can find that freedom that only He can give. And so verse 7 back on the screen, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so there's three simple truths we're going to look at today. The first one's on the screen right now. If you're taking notes, jot this down. Overcoming power comes from God and not from me. Very, very simple. Pretty straightforward, huh? And so every time overcoming power comes from God and not from me. In other words, I can't do it myself. In other words, when I want to tell myself, I've got the power, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. No, he said, no, John, I've got the power. God says, I've got the power. You need to be rightly related to me and I'll give you the power. That's how it works. So we got to always remember that. You know, we kind of talk about it sometimes, and in our attempts to overcome our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we talk about white-knuckling it. And so if we just white-knuckle it, if we just bear down hard enough, surely, 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 we've got the power. Or we make, you know, one resolution after another, thinking, surely, 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 we've got the power. Or we exert every ounce of our willpower and think, okay, surely I've got it. I can muster up enough strength. I can muster up enough willpower that I can overcome sin's power in my life. And I'll tell you this, the enemy will give you a little bit of ground through your willpower. And maybe for a day or two, or maybe a week or two, or maybe even a month or two, you gain a little bit of ground. But over time, the gravity of the sin problem and the power of sin in our lives, it continues to weight us down. And then before you know it, your willpower, my willpower, it's just not enough. Can I get a witness? Come on. Y'all are with me. Y'all know how this thing works. So my willpower is no match against the sin power that's in my life. And so I have to know that the overcoming power I need in my life to experience long-lasting breakthrough, not breakthrough for a moment, but long-lasting breakthrough, that's going to always come from God and not from me. So I've got to be rightly related to God with a surrendered heart. All right, let's keep reading. What does he say next? Verse 8. He says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. So when I read that, the takeaway for me is this, if you're taking notes, because the power of Christ is in me, I always have hope. I always have hope. And so everybody's against Paul. Everybody's coming against Paul. His life is always threatened because he had that treasure. And he had that treasure, and he's trying to give that treasure away to everybody. But yet, the world was coming all against him. And so he says things like, man, I was hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. It's like he's saying, look, I was down, but I was not out. He always had hope. And so whatever you're going through today maybe makes you feel the same kind of way. You kind of feel like you're down, but hey, just possibly, you're not out. You may be down, but you're not out. You may be hard-pressed on every side, crushed, but not in despair, because you know that God is with you. And so wherever you're at in life, even if you feel like that you have hit rock bottom in your life, because of who you are in Christ, Christ in you, if you believe in Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory, because of who you are in Christ, even when you've hit rock bottom, there is always hope. And even when you've hit rock bottom, because you have walked away from God. And sometimes in our lives we get under heavy doses of guilt and condemnation because of our own choices. And for whatever reason in the moment, we chose not to go God's way. We really did go our own way. And left our own devices, we end up in chaos and disorder and disruption and all that kind of stuff. And we hit rock bottom and we don't even know what to do, but we feel like we're so far from God that, you know, we give up. I'm just here to tell you, God will never give up on you. When Jesus went to the cross, He went to the cross for every last single one of your sins. Mine too. Hallelujah. Right? Come on. I like that hallelujah word. Y'all like that word hallelujah? Come on, let's just say it. Hallelujah. I like that. I like that. Yeah, it's just good to know that when we hit rock bottom, even because of the things we've done, we've not hit rock bottom because there's still hope in Jesus Christ. And that's because He forgives every last one of our sins. Whew, that's good. There's always hope. And so we keep on going here. In verse 10 says, we always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. This is interesting to me because all He's talking about is suffering here. He suffered for the cause of Christ. Nobody in the church, nobody in the world wants to talk about suffering. Nobody wants to suffer. And I don't blame us. I don't want to suffer. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want to suffer. But we know that God grows us through suffering. And we know that Paul's life was on the line all the time. He experienced a vast amount of suffering just so that he could shine the light, share the love of Jesus. He knew that Jesus was life, that abundant life exists in the here and now because of who we are in Christ. He knows that eternal life is available to all of us because of Jesus Christ. And so he says, yeah, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Don't ever let anybody tell you that Christians don't suffer. Don't let anybody tell you that. There is suffering in this world, and Christians are not exempt. It's the fallen, broken world we live in. But there's still hope because of who we are in Christ. We find ways through God's grace that He grows us through adversity. He grows us through times of suffering. And so we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be also revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. Again, that suffering. So that His life may also be revealed in our mortal body. And so that line right there, it's just coming out at me whenever I was reading that. Because when we go through the hardest part, that's when God shows up. Whenever we go through the suffering, it says we go through the suffering so that His life may be revealed in our lives, in our broken down bodies. It's beautiful. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So what's the takeaway here? If you're taking notes, jot this down. Once I receive Jesus, His life in me is at work in me to give me an overcoming life. So once I receive Jesus, His life in me is at work in me to give me an overcoming life. And so there's a lot we could probably say about all of this. There's a lot of you know, unique phrases in there that we could kind of pick apart. But here's what I think it's saying. It just has a lot to do with suffering that's in this world, with our flawed bodies and the broken world in a world that doesn't always embrace Christianity, in a world where the world, the flesh, and the devil are always coming against us. And even though life is hard, we know that God is good. That God is good. And anytime we go through hardship with faith in Christ, what happens is we unleash the power of God in our lives to get through it. So we got to get our eyes up. We got to get our eyes on Him. This is the hardest thing for us to do because our eyes stay right here. Our eyes stay here. We got to go there. We got to put our trust with a surrendered heart and let God have it. Remember, He's not going to pry it out of our hands. He wants us to open our hands. And then He will carry us through these things. That's how we unleash the power of God in our lives. And so, yeah, once I receive Christ, His life in me is at work in me, even though I'm suffering, to give me an overcoming life. But it really does come back to understanding that we are powerless without God's help. Look at the screen one more time. But we have this treasure. It's repetition. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And so, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. In a nutshell, just three quick points for you to take home with yourself, but it fits so amazingly well with what we discover in Celebrate Recovery. And it really does blow my mind that we have been doing Celebrate Recovery now for 10 years. And so at this time, I'm going to invite my friends. I've got several friends. Jay and Perry Marins, they're our leaders of Celebrate Recovery. They're going to come up on the platform. Got some others. Let's give it up for them right quick. Yeah, so glad to have them up here with me today. Yeah, y'all come on up. And they're going to put some chairs up here, and we're going to kind of get settled up here. And you're in for a treat to hear about how God moves through our powerlessness to see God's power at work in all of our lives. And so Jay and Perry have been leading our Celebrate Recovery for 7 years, man. This is my brother right here. We've been doing life for a long time together. I mean, 14, 15 years, something like that, maybe more. But it's been a long time, and I've watched y'all's journey, and I've seen the highs and the lows. I've seen the strengths and weaknesses. I've seen when you were walking in the faith strong, and I've seen when you were powerless. And but about 7 years ago, Jay and Perry stepped up to kind of start helping lead Celebrate Recovery, and super glad for that to happen. I see David Carroll over there. David's been a part of it a long time too. Several of you right here in the front here. Let's give it up for all these folks who are with us. Celebrate Recovery. Appreciate y'all so much. And so, question I have for you, Jay. Just tell everybody what Celebrate Recovery really is, just in a nutshell.
Celebrate Recovery is a Christ-centered program that helps people with addictions and life's hang-ups. So I didn't say this in the first service, but it's important to me to say is when you hear recovery, you automatically think, oh, I'm not an alcoholic or I'm not a drug addict. But there is so much more that goes into this. We have eating and we have sexual integrity group and we just so many different things that we can get in that category. So, and we've seen a lot of growth through people who weren't alcoholics and drug addicts.
Right. And so there's a 12-step program, it's a 12-step program in Celebrate Recovery, and y'all have eight principles, or we have eight principles that we go through that are Bible-based, biblically-centered, Christ-centered principles and steps that everybody goes through. And, man, I'm just so grateful that we have an opportunity to have this in our church. And so, Jay, I would just ask you, why did you get involved in CR in the first place?
Well, first of all, another thing I forgot to say in the first service is I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ.
There you go.
Celebrating recovery from childhood sexual abuse, drugs, and alcohol. And I am working on mental depression. My name is Jay.
All right. Hey, Jay.
I got a confession to make. The first service, Perry and I didn't say that, and the other guys did. And I said, we're supposed to be the leaders. We should be leading by example, right? So it's kind of hard to explain, but I started having dreams about stuff that had gone on in my life previously, but I'd been so messed up for so many years, I'd kind of forgotten about it. One was a couple were at my house with their two kids, and they left, and a drunk driver hit them and killed the wife and the two kids, and we ended up in court, and I had to go to trial and everything else. But, you know, another one was we actually kicked in a door of a guy's house who stole drug money from us and held him at gunpoint and didn't get back anything out of the deal, and but, you know, that moment could have changed my life forever.
Yeah.
And anyway, I woke up the next day, and I told Perry, I'm like, I think I need to go get some help. I need to go see a psychiatrist or something. She said, well, why don't you go check out Celebrate Recovery? I was like, okay. So I went, and there was David Carroll and Sam Haywood. He started it. He's in heaven now. But so it started a process for me, and From that moment forward, I'm going to jump in to admit if that's okay with you.
Do what you need to do, man.
So it started a process for me, and I was up here at the church one day, and Miss Glow, who's sitting in the back, she said, are you okay? And, man, I tell you,
if somebody told me I'm okay one more time, I wanted to scream because I heard it so much, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Well, the next day or the same day, I don't remember, I'm driving to Victoria, and the Lord's put it on my heart the whole time. And so I pulled over in Refugio, and I called her, and I said, you know what? No, I'm not okay. And she said, well, we just ask because we care. Yeah. And I knew at that moment that it was okay not to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that started my process. And it's funny now because I do go see a psychiatrist, and I go to counseling, and I go to Celebrate Recovery. But all that to be said is, before that or without that, I'm a different person, and I put my family through a lot. I put Perry through a lot, and so I had to admit that I was powerless in order to work on what was going on inside of me.
Yeah, I mean, that's beautiful right there. I mean, you know, it's okay. What'd you say? It's okay not to be okay? It's okay not to be okay. That's something we all need to remember. It's okay not to be okay. And just if you're wondering about this church, there are no perfect people allowed, all right? Just want y'all to know, there are no perfect people allowed in this church. So it's okay not to be okay. And that's what makes our faith come alive. And that's, again, once again, where we find help and relief. I want to just put up on the screen a principle here. This is one of the principles at Celebrate Recovery. If you're taking notes, you can jot it down yourself. It says, I have to realize I'm not God. I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. So jot that down. I have to admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. It goes right hand in hand with Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. It's on the screen right there. Let's read that out loud together. Happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. And so, you have to know that you're broken before you ever want to be fixed, right? Before you ever want to reach out to God for help. You got to know that you're broken and you're spiritually poor. And so then the step one that goes along with that first principle, it's this right here. It's on the screen. It says, so we admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives had become unmanageable. And so just the action step of, hey, we admitted it. We admitted that we were powerless and we needed God's help. And so you see this in Romans chapter 7. We read it a minute ago. I'm just going to read it again because this is a part of the Celebrate Recovery material. It says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And so you see that whole aspect of powerlessness, of being powerless. And we got a cougher here on the front row. Come on, let's everybody cough. Everybody cough with you, man. He's sitting down and he keeps coughing. But it's all good, brother. Every once in a while I have to clear my throat, you know, and I have to have y'all clear it with me. I bet you won't cough again now, right? We got a recovery program for that, you know. We got a recovery program for that. All right. This is my good friend. I wouldn't have done that to him. He's my good friend. All right, so let me put that step back up on the screen about we admit that we're powerless. And so the two big words there are the word admit, which you just talked about. You got, there's the word admit, and then there's the word powerless. And so, Perry, you talk. I mean, why are those two words important to you?
I am a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. I do Celebrate Recovery daily from opioid addiction. My name is Perry.
Come on, let's give it up for Perry. Hey.
I had a good team to remind me.
There you go.
You know, powerless is a word that has a lot of emotions to it. It can be fear. It can be freeing. It can be scary. It can be worrisome, whatever. But so to it, when I had to admit that I was powerless, pride stepped in first, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's what happens. Nobody wants to admit that they're wrong, their life is unmanageable, or they do the wrong thing. But when when I became powerless or had to admit that I was powerless, my life had kind of started squeezing in. Jay was squeezing in on my wrongdoings, and I got a little nervous. And so I said, well, what am I going to do? And I was at work, and he kept asking questions about what I was doing or whatever. And what I'm going to run, right? It's either flight or fight.
Yeah.
And so I decided I was going to run because I didn't want to admit my wrongdoings. And my son, I just left work and I took off. And my son met me on Morgan, actually. And he said, "What are you doing, Mom?" I said, "I'm leaving." He said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm out of here. Because I can't deal with, I don't want to admit my wrongdoings." And so I was forced into powerlessness. But once I got there, I was so free that he actually came to rescue me, you know, from my powerlessness. But
yeah,
it's rough.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this just real quick.
Yeah,
so people always ask about, you know, what is the difference between Celebrate Recovery and the secular programs? I came from a secular program for a while, but it was brought to my attention by one of the girls that came, that still comes to Celebrate Recovery. She said, "You know, the difference in the secular and the Celebrate Recovery is Celebrate Recovery deals with the feelings behind why we do what we do. You know."
Yeah.
And that's why we numb ourselves. And secular programs are more on, you know, did you steal a car? Yep. Did you steal dope? Yep. You know, where Celebrate Recovery gets to the bottom line of it all.
That's good. That's good.
And why we do what we do.
Yeah, and we're and just to be clear, if you're in AA or anything
like that,
we support that, and we're so grateful
Absolutely.
For those programs as well.
Yeah.
But with us being a church, we've just chosen to go this route. And
yeah.
You know, and really, whenever you study the life of Jesus, and even in the Sermon on the Mount, he's always about the attitude behind the act.
Right.
And it's the feeling and the emotion that drives some of those things. And so I think that's what you're trying to say there.
Yeah, absolutely.
But powerless. And you said you were going to run.
I was.
You were going to run.
Fight or flight.
And
I was out.
I mean, that's crazy, though. How did your son end up there? He was already after you? He knew?
I don't really know, you know, really how it happened.
On Morgan and what?
Yeah, Morgan and Staples. I mean, he was like the cops.
Just boom, just pulled.
Yeah, boom. Down. He was right there, and I saw him.
Where are you going?
Yeah, I saw him, and I ran into the parking lot parked behind some oleanders. You know, like I thought I could hide in any, you know, but that's true love. You know, that he would come after me that way.
He was coming for
me. He was coming for me.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to.
And now you know, on the bigger picture, God was coming for you too.
Absolutely.
So that's beautiful.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I love hearing your story. Everybody get up for Perry right there. And then Josh here is next to her. And so, Josh, you talked to us about when did you feel powerless and admit you needed God's help.
Well, howdy.
Howdy.
I am a faithful believer in Jesus Christ who celebrates victory one day at a time over an alcoholic stronghold, and my name is Josh.
Hey, Josh.
And it's been 1,214 days since I've had a drink of alcohol.
All right.
That is good. So just asking about powerlessness and trying to kind of pinpoint this, moment where I felt powerlessness. I kept coming up with different stories in my head and different, because there were a lot of moments where, you know, it was just like, when is enough, Josh? You know, how many times are you going to say I'm sorry? How many times is it, this is never going to happen again? And I broke, because really along with the word powerlessness comes this big ugly word called pride.
Mm-hmm.
And that pride kept me in such a low state, I didn't realize how long I walked in powerlessness.
Mm.
Not reaching for help, not reaching for, you know, God's help, anybody who would care and love about me. And so there was, I can tell you, you know, horrible stories about how, you know, I had to drop my kids off during the days that I didn't work because I wasn't trusted to take care of my own kids. You know, there were times that, you know, I was not living at my own house.
Mm.
And, you know, you look at those things and you go, gosh, wouldn't that come on? I mean, well, apparently not. But that pride kept me, you know, I can take care of this myself. I can manage this myself. I can get through this myself. And that's just not the truth. The truth is that I am powerless. Mm. The truth is that the only one who can redeem me, the only one who can save me, the only one who has the power to overcome is Christ Jesus. Mm. And he does that by the word of our testimony. Mm. And so I would just say for now, for my life now, I have to choose, and this is kind of, it maybe seems backwards, but I have to choose to live in that knowing state of powerlessness that I cannot do these things on my own. I can't make it. And so any decision, whether it's anger, whether it's jealousy, you know, am I going to come in here and take God in for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, whatever, and then by the time I get out to the parking lot, whatever's been put in me is missing, mm-hmm. you know. And so to turn those things over to him one day at a time, one moment at a time, is what I've had to do.
That's good. That's good. Let's give it up for Josh, everybody. Yeah. And the fact that you stepped into it, you know, you stepped into not just a principle and not just a declaration, but you stepped into a fellowship of people who care about you, came alongside you, prayed for you, helped you, walked with you. And through, of course, the grace of Jesus Christ, you got where you needed to go.
Yes, sir. One other thing, that song we sang, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. And I just think that that's important because to say I trust in God, what does that really mean? Does that mean that I say, yes, I trust you, God, but not here?
Yeah.
Do I still hold on to something? I trust you, God. Nope. I'm going to grab a hold of that again. So that was
it's beautiful. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine from high school, and interestingly enough, a lot of my friends from high school have gone through some very hard times, just that we all identify with here. I was on the phone with one of them last night who's been set free and clean from drugs and alcohol for 20 years, but he said there's this relationship between pleasure and pain. Pleasure and pain, and you live in that vicious cycle of pleasure and pain, and you indulge in the pleasure, and you know you're going to go through the pain, but the pleasure and pain just continues to viciously kind of, it's just a cycle.
Insanity,
there you go.
Keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Well, Shauna, talk to us about your story. I mean, when did you feel powerless, and when did you know you needed God's help?
Well, I am a faithful believer in Jesus Christ, and I celebrate recovery every day from an alcohol and drug stronghold, from depression, anxiety, grief, and abandonment issues. And my name is Shauna. Thank you. Really one of the moments, you know, I realized that I was powerless was 20 months ago. I woke up in a hospital. And around me were my children, my parents, my grandchild. And I came to realize, you know, over the next few days that the illness that I went into the hospital with was not what was almost killing me. It was I went into such a severe alcohol withdrawal that the alcohol withdrawal alone should have killed me. And my family and my children had to literally watch me fight for my life. And so I had to make a decision, and it was pretty easy for me in that moment. It took me 35 years nearly to get to that easy part, but because I was done, I was, you know, what I had been doing in the dark was brought to the light, and there was so much relief that, you know, I didn't have to hide it anymore. So I was like, okay, Lord, you know, it's me and you. And so I knew that it was unmanageable because I had been surrounding my whole life around how I was going to get my next drink and how I was going to hide my next drink from the people that I had to be around. You know, I had went through a period of rebuilding relationships with my children and in moments I was about to throw it away, you know, and so 35 years into it, that was an easy decision. The easiest and best decision I ever made was to say, Lord, I surrender. I give up. You know, you can just call me a track star. I was running from God all my life. But easiest decision I ever made. And the first step he took me through was learning how to surrender. And just like they've all mentioned, once I got to Celebrate Recovery, which was just an act of obedience, you know, he calls us to be obedient. And I just knew that that's where I was supposed to be. But once I got there and I realized that, you know, I wasn't ever going to be doing alcohol or drugs again, that was no problem. Those were just symptoms of what was really going on. The heart matters. You know, I had had abandonment issues since I was 3 years old. I had bitterness, resentment. I had deep grief. I had just went through the death of two people that were very significant in my life that I didn't know how to come out of that. And so I began to give him all these and just walk into that freedom and surrender. And it's beautiful.
Yeah, so, 35 years of running from God. Yeah, go ahead.
You had asked earlier something to the effect of, what have we seen over the years, right?
Yeah.
And I just happened to be outside, and I saw Shauna walking down the sidewalk, and she hadn't been there in a year or however long, I don't remember. And, you know, I just knew something was different, and it brought so much joy to my heart because I wished I could tell you that everybody walked through that door, stuck around, and got the help that they needed. But that's not the way it works. The odds are completely the other direction. Mm-hmm. But that's why we do what we do. And I look out here today and I see faces that come to Celebrate Recovery, have come to Celebrate Recovery, or other programs that have turned their life around. And it's, you know, just, it's all the glory of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good stuff. And so for Shauna, it was a matter of life and death. So, man, we're so grateful.
It was that trust. That, you know, of course I had to surrender it, and I had to do the first act of obedience.
Yeah.
But then I realized that, you know, I'd never trusted anybody, not even my own children, in my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, and the Lord had to show me that you can trust me.
Yeah.
And once I fell into that trust, because literally I was exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, I fell into that trust. I was like, wow, here we go.
Yeah, and the true peace that comes your way. I mean, I can remember when I gave my life to Christ, like I never experienced that kind of peace before in my whole entire life. So y'all give it up for Shauna. Here we go. We got a couple of more testimonies, but they're from the crowd. Randy and Kelly Harris right over here, and they're going to share a story. Go ahead, Randy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a faithful believer in Jesus Christ. Celebrate recovery from drugs and alcohol. My name is Randy. Good morning. Thanks. I was raised in the church. I'm just like each one of you here today. My mother and father, they taught me right from wrong, and they introduced me to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am from the church. But one day as a young man, I decided that I knew better. I decided that the things that I had been taught in these rooms were not for me, and I decided that I was going to go my own way. And that started me down a very dark road. I began to drink, and it was fun at first. And then at some point along the way, it wasn't something that I just chose to do. It chose me. I crossed over into that line. They say that you can't make a cucumber out of a pickle. I crossed over, and I crossed over into alcoholism. And to be truthful about it, I don't know exactly when it finally occurred to me that I couldn't stop. But once that thought began to creep in, my life became hellish. I became tortured. It was no longer fun. It was no longer interesting. It was a drudgery and a chore. And I hated myself, and I hated my life, and I hated everything around me. And so that's how I drank, and I like to drink alone. So what happened was one day I came up out of a very dark blackout. I don't remember how I got there, but I wound up in a cell. And there was people around me, and there was a jailer handing coffee into the cell. And something happened. I don't know how to explain it other than it occurred to me in my head that the guy outside the door with the keys thought that I belonged in the cell with everybody else. And something just snapped inside of me. I had this very clear moment where I saw myself very clearly. And so for me, that was the moment of powerlessness. And it was the realization of the damage that I had done, not just to myself, but to everybody around me. Mm. And so several days after that, I surrendered completely and absolutely. And that was the beginning of it. And I found my way back, and I found my way to Celebrate Recovery. And then I found my way back to God's church. Okay. Praise God for that.
Good thing. Amen.
I didn't get it right in the first service, so let me be sure I say this, that my joy today is to carry the message of Celebrate Recovery everywhere I go. So don't leave before you hear the message, and here it is. There is a solution. There is hope, and there is a way out when you're ready. Amen.
Good. All right. And Randy's wife, Kelly's right beside him, and so Kelly, share your story.
Okay. Got my Kleenex right by me, just in case. Okay, so I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I am recovering from food addiction, from codependency, childhood sexual abuse, and just a way of living in fear of man and fear, just fear in general. My name's Kelly. Thank you. So, my power, I had many powerless like moments in my life where I realized I was powerless. It started when I was in high school. I had an eating disorder that quickly went from me choosing it to it choosing me. And thank goodness I was able to get into treatment. And that's actually how I found the Lord, was through knowing I was powerless over my eating disorder. And so I came to the Lord and gave my life to Him when I was 19 years old. And about 20 years later, it took 20 years to realize I was powerless over a lot more than just that. During those 20 years, I had married my first husband, and we had two children. And when I got married to him, I knew he was coming out of a life of drugs and alcohol, and I figured it was my job to keep him sober and straight. So now, you know, of course, I was still struggling with the food stuff, and myself. I don't know why I thought I had the power to keep him like that, but I never considered that, you know, that was God's job. My way of thinking was that, you know, as long as we our behaviors, you know, were good, right? So it was always like this using manipulation, guilt, logic, whatever it took, you know, to keep him safe, just to get him to say the words, right? And that was what consumed my life. And with that, just like Josh was talking about, comes so much pride, right? Like that fear and the pride that's all mixed up in it. Like somehow I can, you know, keep somebody else on the straight and narrow. And I'm just a tough nut to crack. So God had to let me really fall hard. And I did that when I was married close to 20 years. 20 years in, I got involved in a relationship with another man. It was something I never thought I would do, ever. I knew when I did it, I had even prayed, God, this is what I want to do, and just thank you that Jesus, you know, saved me, right? I knew that to me was the worst part of it all. you know, that I somehow was trying to, like, get my faith in Christ as a, to co-sign this. Mm. And, yeah. And so that's probably been the hardest part for me to recover from. That shame and guilt of that prayer. Yeah. But that wasn't the worst part at that time. The worst part was the hurt that it caused. My husband, caused him to really just dive into the drugs and alcohol. And ultimately, he decided that he would rather do that than stay with the family. And when he left, I just crumbled. Everything that I thought I could control, I realized I was powerless. That was my moment of knowing I am powerless, not just over myself, but over others. Yeah. And in that, God, he picked me up. He was the only one that could. I wanted to find someone who could tell me the answer, and he was the only one. And unfortunately, it took me a long time to really turn completely over to him. It probably wasn't until after Randy and I got married, and probably just in the last 5 years, where I really started to recover and realize that he alone is my rescue. Mm. I needed heart change, and he gave it to me. And one of the reasons, probably the major reason we came to Grace Point Church, was because I knew there was a Celebrate Recovery here, and I knew I could be real here. Yeah. I knew that that this was a place. If there's a CR here, then that means that I don't have to wear a mask and pretend I'm perfect and that I got it all together, because I don't. And the more that I let this stuff get exposed to the light, he's going to use it, and he's going to free me. Because I didn't even realize how much bondage I was in until he started to break those chains in my life. Right. So I just want to encourage you all to know he is the chain breaker. So,
that's right. That's right. Give it up.
And just for clarity, Kelly, just for clarity, how long have Randy and you been married now?
8.5 years.
All right, give it up. Yeah. So second chances are always appreciated, and God is the God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Hallelujah. Don't y'all like that word, hallelujah? Hallelujah. All right, got one more story. Y'all bear with us. I've got another friend over here, Chris. This is our last story. But, Chris, we'd love to hear how you came to that realization of powerlessness in your own life.
I'm a faithful and grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I celebrate recovery daily from cutting and 15 years of sexual abuse as a child. I'm still working on anxiety, depression, food addiction, and PTSD. And my name is Chris.
All right.
It was a long road. I was like Pastor had said, I was like a 2-year-old. I can do it myself. And for 56 years, I tried to do it myself. Exactly like he said, little forward, little back. Never made headway. It is an actual prison that you put yourself in. I didn't realize it at the time, and the only one that had the keys was Jesus. Mm. And so I struggled, and I always had my I'm fine face on for that 56 years. I'm fine. I'm doing great. Hallelujah. Mm. Smile. But, you know, I was invited to Celebrate Recovery about 3 years ago. It took Jesus about a year before I actually went. So I've been going for almost 2 years. And just to know that there's a place where you can talk about the deepest, darkest secrets that you could never, ever say out loud. And that's the hardest part for me, is because I've had to hide myself, my life. Everything that I'm dealing with, I've had to hold it inside and deal with it myself. And that's a pretty lonely place. And so the first time I walked into Celebrate Recovery, I'm like, this I'm fine face, you're going to see it for a while. Uh-uh. That second day, I was a bawling mess. I was like, okay, hi, I'm Chris.
Yeah.
But it is, it takes seeing that you can't do it on your own. You need Jesus. And that surrender, I've only been going to church for probably about 20, 25 years. And I realized that I was walking the walk, but not talking the talk. So to actually surrender, when you say those words out loud, it releases everything. And there is this freedom that you never, ever felt before. I always thought that if I talked about it, that it would get so much worse. But I have a Christian therapist, and in the 2 years, I've been seeing her for a long time, but in the 2 years that I've been in Celebrate Recovery, she said, Chris, I have seen you grow more than I have ever seen you grow just doing therapy. And, you know, you can't beat what Jesus can do for you.
Yeah.
Because yeah. He is the only key to unlock that prison that you put yourself in. And He's the way and the truth and the light. And you got to bring it to the light. If you don't bring it to the light, you're just going to keep struggling. So thank you guys so much.
Amen. Amen.
And so I think for any of us, you know, you hear the stories and maybe you can relate to them, maybe you can't. But the bottom line to life is surrendering your heart to Christ. And, you know, whenever I think about life, I can't be any more serious than I am with what I'm about to say right now. Nothing matters more in your life than what you do with Jesus Christ. That's it. So sometimes we think all that matters or what matters most in our life is our physical appearance or how much money we have or the facade that we put on with all of the material possessions that we can have and all of these things. And I'm not saying that all those things are bad in and of themselves. What I am saying is what matters most in our lives is what we do with Jesus. And so there's freedom whenever we realize who He is and what He wants to do in our lives. And so it's not only for the here and now, it's for all eternity in our lives. If we live 70, 80, 90 years, my grandmother lived 104, it's really just a blip on the radar in terms of eternity. And so my possessions or my physical appearance or whatever that I'm going to put all my eggs in those baskets, they're not taking me any further beyond that blip in terms of time and eternity. The only thing that's going to get me beyond the blip is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way that I can live with victory in my life in the here and now is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and through a life of surrender. And it always helps to have a fellowship of people coming around you that are locking arms with you and helping you go that way. The bottom line to all of it is you got to realize that you're powerless. And you need the power of Christ in your life. He went to the cross to forgive us for our sins, for sure. We got to know that. And so we got to reach out to Him. But just to keep the whole line of CR going, Celebrate Recovery, principle number two, it's on the screen. We got to earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. And He certainly does. We got to reach out to God. The last thing is this, principle three, we have to consciously choose to commit all my life. I have to choose to commit all of my life and my will to Christ's care and control. And so whenever we do that, it's so much more than just being about recovery. It's about eternity. And so today, we want to help you with wherever you're at on the journey. I mean, if it's recovery that you need, we have Celebrate Recovery that meets on Thursday nights here. And you can find out more information out there as you grab a cupcake and go. But man, if you have questions about eternity and about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's where you're at, please don't leave without making those decisions. You can stop by the Next Steps room. It's right out beyond these doors. People will pray with you. People will help you. They'll help you with answers to the questions that you may have. The last thing I want to do here is just kind of a testimony song. You've heard these testimonies today, and I'll just say that all these testimonies are our testimonies in one way or another. And this song, it could be any of our testimony as we sing it. So when I ask you, if you don't mind, stand. Let this song resonate with your spirit as you think about what God's done in your life.
Mercy of God can do.
goodness and mercy and the power of the blood. One of the things that we always do at Celebrate Recovery is we say the Serenity Prayer. It's on the screen. And I'm going to ask you to read that with me. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.